We did Sanketyam Parihasyam by yesterday, na? So that is text 14. They took the Guru Naam Cha Laghu Naam Cha Guru Ni Cha Laghu Ni Cha Prayaschittani Papanam Nyatvoktani Maharshibhi Gurunam cha lagunam cha Guruni cha laguni cha Prayaschittani papanam Nyatvoktani Maharshibhi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place when Samba was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Samba fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhan, and since, according to Kshatriya custom, one is not offered a Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays his chivalrous valor, Samba abducted her. Consequently, Samba was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Samba's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled and Samba married Duryodhan's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayan. So today, we are continuing the discussion between the Vishnudutas and the Yamdutas I think it was Shikshashtakam Prabhu who mentioned that it's like a 3D movie. What do they call it? IMAX. IMAX. It's a full experience that's happening in the house of Ajamil. He's having a tremendous experience of, a real life experience of seeing the Yamdutas, the Vishnudutas, the most beautiful personalities and the most ugly personalities. One has come, the Yamdutas have come to attack him, drag away his subtle body, and the Vishnudutas have come to rescue him and save him, give him a second chance, as Srila Prabhupada says. And there's only one audience, Ajamil. He's the only person who can see both of them and experience the full effect of both the Yamdutas and the Vishnudutas. In this verse, the Vishnudutas are continuing their argument as to why Ajamil is now sinless, in spite of living a whole life of sinful activities, which the Yamdutas in the last few verses have categorically explained. Still now, the Vishnudutas are counteracting with arguments why Ajamil is completely sinless. And in this verse, they are explaining that, yes, it is a fact that if, for example, somebody has a big disease, then he needs a heavy dose of treatment. And if somebody has a light disease, then one needs a light dose of treatment, of medicines. Similarly, the learned scholars and sages who are the authorities have explained that if someone has committed large amounts of sins, then one should perform heavy atonement so that those sins can be nullified or counteracted. And if someone has performed less amount of sins, then one must live a lifestyle which should include some atonement, some voluntary pain, according to the scripture and the sages, which will purify them so that they don't have to suffer because of their sins. So an interesting fact that comes out of this particular episode, this particular translation and purport is that people who are learned, who are thoughtful in life, especially the authorities mentioned here who are learned scholars and sages, every time they act, they think, how is this action going to affect me in my life? If I perform this action which is sinful, then I will have to suffer for these sins. If I perform an action which is good, then I will get the benefit of this pious activity. And now, I must perform activity in such a way that either I am free from the sufferings of my past, so that I perform some atonement, or I must act in such a way that ultimately it's for my benefit. So, it is mindless and hedonistic for people in this world to just simply act and not think what is going to happen in the future. In fact, there is a saying in English, one should think before one acts. But those who act out of impulse, they think after they act. What have I done? After they finish acting, then they start thinking, oh, what has happened in my life? So this is acting on instincts. And that's basically how the animals act. In fact, they only act. They don't even think. They have no choice. So human beings, they act, and then they think, but it is too late, because the action has already happened. In fact, a few days back, I was discussing with one devotee, one student, who was honestly expressing that he is having some difficulty following the regulative principles. He's breaking some regulative principles, he's struggling very hard, but he's not able to follow all the regulative principles. So he was explaining exactly the same thing, that I act, and then I repent, then I feel so bad. That, oh, I did this activity, it's horrible, it's against the scripture. I'm suffering now because I'm feeling the guilt. And I know I'm going to suffer in the future because I have broken the regulative principles. So we were discussing that, yes, it is sometimes difficult because of our previous conditionings. The heavy force that comes at that particular moment, it is so powerful that it overwhelms the intelligent of even an intelligent person. Vidvam shapi karshati, it is said. That even an intelligent person, if he associates too closely, even with his, now this Bhagavatam takes it to an extreme, with his mother, daughter, or even sister, then one can get bewildered. So this can happen even to an intelligent person. What to speak of ordinary loafers? So therefore, the scripture gives us this idea that it's difficult when the intelligence becomes bewildered, when there is such a powerful force. And that's why in Bhagavad Gita we find Arjuna asking this question. Ata kena prayuktoram papam charati purushah. I experience that papam charati purusha. Although I know what is right and what is wrong, but still it feels as if somebody is tying my hands, tying my legs, and practically dragging me into the fire of sense gratification and putting me over there. And every personality who has sometimes fallen to sense gratification has had this experience, that the Paramatma within is bombarding. You know, the heart starts beating hard, then one's hands and legs, they start sweating. One starts getting fear. One knows that I'm breaking the regulative principles. I'm making a mistake. But still, that overpowering force comes. It just drags us, puts us in that fire of sense gratification. And then we think. We think after we act. And then, interestingly, it is explained that no human being in this world can perform wrong and live with it knowing that I have performed wrong. That means one has to justify one's actions and convince oneself that I am good, I am right, otherwise one cannot survive. The subtle body, the false ego, will be too much on fire to survive. It is explained that even the biggest, most dangerous serial killers, you know, those who kill so many people, even they justify it in their heart that what I am doing is right. I am simply... It's because of the social situations around me, the circumstances around me, that have forced me to become like that. And therefore, they have to justify whatever wrong they are doing in their lives. So even after acting, if one at least thinks that what I did was wrong, then one is honest and one can approach the path of Krishna consciousness. But if one just simply justifies that what I did was wrong, it was actually right, what can I do? It was ordained by the Lord, it's the destiny. What can I do? That sense gratification, that object came right in front of me. I went to the Prasadam hall and 20 rasgullas were sitting over there. And it was late in the night and it got spoiled. It was all Mahaprasad. So yes, I mean, I'm just giving one extreme example. There are so many such examples where we perform sense gratification and then we justify what I did was right. And thus, one loses the opportunity of introspection, reflection, and purification through prayer, penance, repentance. So intelligent people, they think before they act. That's why in this verse it is explained that if one has performed heavy sins, then one must atone in this lifetime. Now atonement is a troublesome thing. Like fasting is an atonement. Or doing some vrata, some japa, puja, so many things they do. It's an atonement. It's troublesome. But to do that troublesome activity, one has to be convinced that this will be for my benefit. I must perform this atonement. And for that, one has to be convinced that I am sinful. I am wrong. Even to come to that platform, to accept that I am wrong, is itself a big platform. From there, one can actually make progress to come to the right platform. So therefore, in the Vedic times, people would always think, oh, if I am wrong, then I should do the right activity. That's why Yudhishthir Maharaj, we find in the Rajasuya Yajna, so interesting. Before he performed the Rajasuya Yajna, he asked all his ministers, he asked all his brothers, whether I am doing the right thing by performing this Rajasuya Yajna. Is my motivation correct? It's possible that probably I want to do this Rajasuya Yajna to be known as a great king. And therefore, he again and again took counsel from his ministers, from his brothers. And they all convinced him, no, Yudhishthir Maharaj, your motivation is to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in the Rajasuya Yajna, the most important person will be worshipped first. And because Krishna will be there and he will be worshipped, the whole world will know. And his glories will be spread in all the directions that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you see, Yudhishthir Maharaj was actually performing an activity, a pious activity, a Rajasuya Yajna. But still, even within that, he was taking counsel. Whether my motivation is correct? He's thinking so much before acting. Even while performing the right activity and taking guidance from the senior Vaishnavas, from his brothers, his juniors, his equals. So that is intelligence. However, even though one may be intelligent to not perform the wrong activity, avoid meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, still because of one's past, one may have performed so many sins. So this verse explains that even if you're intelligent, you think before you act, and we perform nice, pious atonements, still there is something higher than that. And that is the chanting of Hare Krishna. In the translation, it is explained, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. That means this is the super medicine. If there's a big disease, heavy medicine required. Small disease, light medicine required. But this medicine is the medicine that cures all problems. All the sins of our past, whatever mistakes, whatever difficulties we have done, chanting of Hare Krishna purifies it. And therefore it is very interesting that in the scriptures, the devotees, they are praying to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please help us to live our life in such a way that in every moment of our life we can think of you by remembering your holy names. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are these brahmanas who perform a sacrifice for Meru Devi and Maharaj Nabhi. And in that sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appears. And Lord Vishnu asks, what do you want? So the brahmanas, when they see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they knew that we were performing this sacrifice for a materialistic purpose. We wanted a child for Maharaj Nabhi. And therefore, they feel remorse in their heart that, my Lord, we called you all the way here for such a tiny thing, for just a child. And then they offer many prayers of remorse. And finally, they request the Lord that you please give Maharaj Nabhi a son who is just like you. And then Lord Vishnu blesses that, yes, Rishabhdev will be born, who will be just a plenary incarnation, a plenary portion of mine to Maharaj Nabhi. Immediately after that, the brahmanas, when they feel purified, they offer a very interesting prayer for pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atha katanchit skalana kshut patana jrumbana durvasthana adishu vivashanam nasmaranaya jvara marana dashayanam api sakala kashmala nirasanani tavagunakal kritanamadheyanani vachana gocharani bhavantu. They are saying, my dear Lord, atha katanchit, in our life, we may pass through so many situations, and somehow or the other, in those difficult situations, katanchit, it might happen that we might forget you. What are those situations they explain? Skhalana. While walking, we might slip. And while slipping, we might forget you. Kshut, when we are hungry, when we know the force of hunger is so powerful that the mind doesn't work. So one may not be able to think of Krishna. Patana, when we are falling from the roof or from a high place. When most people, you know, they shout so many varieties of decibels of voices. Because it's a very fearful situation. Jrimbana durvasthana adishu. Or we may be in an impure place, a difficult place, durvasthana adishu, and in that place we might forget you. Vivashanam nasmaranaya, in that place, nasmaranaya, we may not be able to remember you. So these are situations outside of us. Difficult situations when one may slip, or one may, because of not getting food from outside, or falling from a high place, or being in an impure place, not be able to remember the Lord. But then there are internal challenges also. Jvara marana dashayanam api. If I have a fever, or marana dashayana, even at the point of death, it's such a painful situation. Api. Still, my Lord, we request you, sakala kashmala nirasanani tava. Let us kindly remember your holy names, which are so wonderful, that sakala kashmala nirasanani, they purify us from all the difficult situations, all the abhadras in our heart. Gunakrita namadheyanani vacha gocharani bhavantu. Let it be, bhavantu, they are requesting. In all these varieties of situations of our life, where we might slip and forget because of momentary mental disturbance, please allow us to remember your holy names. In a similar verse in the prayers of Maharaj Kulashekhar, Satswarup Maharaj writes a beautiful purport. He says that why is a devotee praying like this to the Lord, that please allow me to remember you in a normal situation, and even in all abnormal situations. Why? And he says that this is because of love. Satswarup Maharaj explains in that purport that in the Greek philosophy, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Jai Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagwan ki, Shri Gopal Ji Bhagwan ki, Jai. He explains that in the Greek philosophy, they have something called the golden mean. The golden mean is that experience of life where everything in one's life is perfectly balanced. Now, most human beings live a life out of balance. Sometimes they're too much absorbed in the body. Then they forget their mind, their intelligence, their spiritual activities. Sometimes they're too much absorbed in mental pursuits. And thus they forget their physical self, their bodies, their intelligence to develop. Sometimes they're too much in their social life in such a way that they neglect their mind, their bodies. And sometimes they get into so much spirituality, they say, that their family life gets destroyed and they sometimes become penniless beggars. So the Greek philosophy says that one should have a golden mean. And the example given is that when you take a match stick and you rub it against the side of a matchbox, then if the matchstick is perfectly having all the ingredients, the phosphorus and all that, in perfect balance, then as soon as the matchstick strikes the matchbox, then there is fire. Similarly, they say if your life is perfectly balanced, physical, mental, intellectual, spiritual, you have everything in your life, then there will be a fire within. And there will be an experience of such self-confidence, self-esteem, strength, because you achieved the golden mean, the balance. Because most people in this world are out of balance. At the end of the day, when they hit the bed, if you think, what are the different things that I had planned to start the day with, or I had hoped to do, we find we are hopelessly out of the needs that we have to fulfill in our life. So many times, not studied for the exams, for devotees, you know, I decided to read this much Bhagavatam, but I had not read it all throughout the day, ran here, ran there, did so many things. Or I decided I'll perform some menial service to the Vaishnavas, and I'll fold some dhotis and keep them, but no time to fold my own dhoti, you know. At the end of the day, struggling to wash my own clothes. Or there are so many things that go out of balance in our lives, but they say the golden mean is when everything is perfectly balanced. And sometimes the Niti Shastras also speak of the same thing. What is that verse? That one should not perform ati. Everything excessive is bad. The Niti Shastras, they explain. And the examples they give is, just look at what happened to Ramchandra. He followed truth too much. Too much truth is not good. See what happened to him. 14 years he had to live in the forest. And the next example they give is of Bali Maharaj. There is a limit to charity. Charity is good. But just see what happened to him. Became a penniless beggar. He lost his kingdom. He lost his reputation, name, fame, everything in society. So these are the examples they give. The third example. Third example is? Ati Sarvata Varjet. There's another third example also he gives. Says that you should not do too much in this world. Everything should be balanced. The golden mean. And when you have everything in life to enjoy, sense gratification also, Krishna consciousness also, little spiritual life on Sundays, and family life also. So Satvarup Maharaj says, then why is this devotee asking that in every situation of my life, my dear Lord, please allow me to remember you? This is only because of love. In love, one transcends the ordinary laws of this world. There is no such thing as this golden mean, because this material world, change is constant. As soon as we reach this golden mean, again there will be change. And thus the whole life goes in simply trying to change and make life balanced, peaceful and happy here. However, a devotee takes one step ahead. He doesn't worry about what atonements I have to do for heavy sins, what atonements I have to do for light sins. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki Jai. Rather, a devotee prays to the Lord, my dear Lord, please, by your causeless mercy, in every situation of my life, allow me to remember your holy names. Now, what's the principle that comes out here? A very interesting principle. We were discussing that the force of sense gratification is so strong that it just completely overpowers the mind and intelligence. It just overpowers the consciousness. And one thinks after one acts. That's if one is at least to some degree sane. Otherwise, one doesn't think at all. Just do it, forget it. In fact, I read a quotation which says, the secret to happiness in this world is to have a bad memory. That means you perform all kinds of sins, be a debauchee, a nonsense, and then just forget it. If you have a bad memory, then you don't know how bad you are, so then you're happy in life. But that's an animal's philosophy. An animal is happy in the summer when the sun is shining, but when the winter is coming, when the rain is coming, it's going to suffer there. The animal does not have intelligence, and I must save for a rainy day. I must work for my future. So, the devotee is requesting the Lord, my dear Lord, let my love for you increase so much that this love for you should so much overpower my intelligence and my mind and my consciousness that even in these situations where my mind intelligence is not stable or there is difficulty externally and internally, this love should be so strong that it should overpower these disturbing situations and I should be able to remember you. That's the place of prayer in one's life. Because through sadhana, bhakti, it is possible to live a very pure life and avoid sinful activity. However, to achieve advanced devotional service like bhava and prema, it is not possible by one's own endeavor. That happens when the Lord gives the mercy. It's interesting. Now, people feel that if I want to love somebody, then I choose, I decide. Like when they go for marriage, you know, they say, no, not this, this, that, you know. You decide who you want to love, who you don't want to love. It's my choice. But in Krishna consciousness, it's not like that. It's not my choice whether I want to love Krishna. I have to beg Krishna, plead Krishna, and just wait for His causeless mercy to come, and then alone will I be able to love Krishna. I can perform all sadhana, all external rituals and perfectly practice sadhana bhakti to be pure and not sinful. But to really approach Krishna in love, that is possible only when Krishna gives His mercy. And that is why the devotees over here, we see in the previous verse and this verse, that they are praying, my Lord, in all situations allow us to remember you. By our own strength, it is impossible. That's why the scriptures and the association of devotees is gradually bringing our consciousness higher and higher to this connection to Krishna through prayer by which Krishna will empower us and give us this mercy by which we can remember Him. That's the goal. We find the scriptures are always pushing us closer and closer to the Lord. In fact, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very interesting verse which says, Yathaihi kamushmika kamalam pataha sute shudare shudhane shuchintayan sanketa vidvan kukale varatyayad yastasya yatnaha shrama eva kevalam. This verse is contrasting the thought process in the mind of a materialistic person and the thought processes that should be in the mind of a sadhaka, a devotee, practicing devotee. It's explained, yatehi kamushmika kama lampataha. A kama lampataha, a materialistic person who is very much inspired by material desires, yatehi. He, indefinitely, indeed, what is his thought process? Kamushmika. Always absorbed in how I can extract some enjoyment from this world. And therefore, sute shudare shudaneshu chintayan. Chintayan, what is the thought process in his or her mind? Suteshu, children. Dareshu, wife, husband, family members. Dhaneshu, money. Because these things give some support, some shelter, some hope that I can make it in this world. Chintayan, that's the thought process. However, a warning is given. Sanketa vidvan kukale varatyayad. Vidwan, a personality who's studying the scripture, who's struggling in spiritual life, who's trying to practice Krishna consciousness, and he's using his time for absorbing himself in Krishna consciousness, if he has fear for death, then yastasya yatnaha shrama eva kevalam, his endeavor, yatna, yastasya yatnaha shrama eva hi kevalam. So after going through the entire process of practicing all these rituals of studying the scripture, practicing atonement, if one has still not overcome the fear of death, if one has not realized one's own self, realized Krishna, then all one's activities are simply shrama evahi kevalam. It's all a hard labor which is not borne fruit, because one's mind and thought processes are still materialistic. So Krishna consciousness is not just the external practices of devotional service, but real Krishna consciousness is also one's heart's offering to Krishna in prayer. Like we find in this translation and in this purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining how one should take shelter of Krishna and Balram. And the story is about Samba, who fell in love with Duryodhana's daughter, and he went and attacked her. Hastinapur, and he kidnapped her. But by the time he was coming back, the powerful heroes of the Kuru dynasty, they overpowered him, not in a fair battle, unfairly, and they took him back into Hastinapur as a captive. And then Balramji came, and there was some discussion, interesting discussion, where the Kurus insulted Balramji, and then Balramji showed his power by just putting his plow into the ground, and the whole of Hastinapur shook as if there was an earthquake. And for a few moments more, if this would have continued, then the whole of Hastinapur would have been in the waters of River Ganga. And therefore they all came running and begged Balramji, "Oh, please, please forgive us, you know. We made a big mistake. We could not realize your power." So the purport that Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, the purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. So when we take shelter of Krishna Balram, then their mercy flows in our consciousness, so much overpowers our consciousness, that in spite of all the difficult things of this world, that mercy will have overpowered the consciousness, and thus we will be able to remember Krishna. Therefore, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in his Spiritual Warrior 5, writes an interesting article on the internal dialogue. He says that this internal dialogue is like a tape recorder that is constantly going on within oneself. And what this tape recorder is constantly playing, he says, is what one's life actually is. He makes a very interesting, powerful statement. He says, what we think and what we are is unlimitedly more a part of our life than what we do or what we speak. That means, he says, what we do or what we speak is an insignificant part of our life compared to what we think and what we are. If one just reflects one's life, how much time that we spend with ourselves, with our thought processes, with this tape recorder that's constantly going on in our mind, that's so much part of our life. And what we speak outside, sometimes that's not even what we are. There's something in our mind going on, something we speak. It's nothing to give and take with our life, actually. And what we do is sometimes even more farther away from what we actually are, or what we think in our mind. There's such a big gap between our actions and our words and our thoughts. So he's saying that this tape recorder that's constantly going on within oneself has such a large part to play in one's life, that even sometimes successful people in this world, in spite of becoming big, big CEOs, big athletes, international fame, still they're so miserable in their personal lives and they commit suicide. Why is that? That is because this tape recorder which is going on within is miserable, and that has not changed. And he says that exactly might happen in spiritual life also. And he quotes Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Artho Jigyasu Artharthi Jnani Cha Bharatarshaba. He says four types of people come to Krishna consciousness. To Krishna. Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Artho, one who is suffering. One who is in need of wealth, Artharthi. Jigyasu, inquisitive. And one who is in knowledge. Is in need of knowledge of the absolute truth. So we may also definitely have come to Krishna consciousness with this tape recorder playing within. I am suffering. I am good for nothing. I am a foolish fellow. What the world thinks about me. Or I am in need. So this kind of tape recorder may be playing inside. And we are performing external activities of Krishna consciousness. And after so many years of continuing external activities of Krishna consciousness, reading the scripture, coming in the association of devotees, performing services, if this tape recorder inside has not changed, this internal dialogue has not changed, then not much has changed in one's spiritual life. Because Krishna's demand is, Man manabha mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuruhu mame vaishi satyamte pati jane priyosime. That you always think of me, pay homages unto me, become my devotee. So the mind has to be in that prayerful mood, thinking of Krishna. That internal dialogue, that tape recorder has to change, which is constantly telling us so many ideas for sense gratification. Therefore, it is important what others tell us. You know, when people tell us, it affects the mind so much. There is a saying in English that bricks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. This philosophy may be true for animals, but human beings with emotions, as soon as words are spoken, it has to hurt them. If one is dull like a stone or like an animal, it will not touch them. But it is a fact. Up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the third canto we find that when Varahadev was being chastised by Hiranyaksha, he was thinking, you know, he was a good devotee till yesterday, a day before yesterday, a few days back, he was, you know, Jai Vijay. Just see how he's insulting me. It's pained his heart. In the fifth canto, when Jada Bharata was carrying Maharaj Rahuguna, and Maharaj Rahuguna chastised Jada Bharata. You know, you fat so, you useless fellow, you're not carrying properly. So before he started speaking, it is explained in the fifth canto, he felt bad in his heart. And then when he speaks, he says, I'm a completely self-realized soul. Please know that, my dear Maharaj Rahuguna, I am a completely pure self-realized soul. Now what a conviction to speak that. But still, it affects the consciousness. So, what other people think of us, what other people speak about us, we think about it. But what we think about ourselves is much more important. Because we will become what we tell ourselves. I'll repeat this statement Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes. We will become what we keep telling ourselves. So if we keep telling ourselves, you know, that I'm not good, I'm bad, I'm not a devotee, I must enjoy, let me enjoy, somehow let me grab some enjoyment from this world, then that's what we'll become. So it's important what other people think of us and speak about us. It's more important with what we think about ourselves. But it's even more important that we think of Krishna. And it's even more important what Krishna thinks of us. And that is why when Krishna says, you will become very dear to me if you just think of me. That is what Krishna is thinking of us. So if that internal dialogue is purified by always thinking of Krishna, praying to Krishna, and changing this thought process to rather thinking about what other people are thinking about me and speaking about me, or always be absorbed about what I think about myself, to think about Krishna, and to go even deeper as to what does the Lord want from me? What does Krishna think about me? That is the perfection of one's life. And therefore, the devotees out of love, they pray to the Lord. My dear Lord, in all situations, please let us remember you because we know that pleases you. That will destroy all the sins. And that knowledge is what the Vishnu Dutas are telling both the Yamdutas and to Ajamil. That if the holy name is chanted, with a prayerful attitude to the Lord, that mercy of the Lord will overpower the consciousness so much that all the sins will be destroyed, heavy or small, and in all situations of life, one will actually be able to remember Krishna in spite of whether it is jvara, marana, dashayanam api. Even if one is at the point of death or in fever or falling from the roof, in those situations, by the mercy of the Lord, one shall be able to remember His holy name, be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any one question or some comment? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.